This is the Hobart Lacrosse Podcast, episode 41. I'm Ted Baker, joined by the head coach of the Statesman, Greg Raymond, looking back at the win over Wagner and ahead to a road trip to Merrimack this week. Coach, welcome back.
Good to be here, Ted. Thanks.
So I didn't realize, I just learned this week, that Merrimack is still ineligible as a team that's moved up from D2 to D1. They're kind of a provisional member of Division I. So your path to making the tournament is a little easier than we thought. Right now, you're looking at a fourth place battle with three other 1-3 teams. One of them you've beaten. You've got the tiebreaker on. The other you still play. And then the third, Sacred Heart, has the three toughest teams in the league. So your path is a little better than we thought it was, or at least that I thought it was.
Yeah. You know, I think we're looking at this, this game in the same mindset that we have in the past. And I think a mindset that's really escaped us, to be honest with you. And we became a little bit more, you know, outcome and goal driven than we were, or expectation driven than we were execution and present focus driven. So, you know, I do know that Merrimack is not eligible for the postseason, but I also know that we still need to find ways to win. So this is a good team and a great opportunity to get a win, and it will impact the schedule, will impact the seedings for a potential conference tournament. So, you know, our full focus is going up to Massachusetts and playing well.
I don't know if you think this way or if you'd agree, but we said going into the broadcast against Wagner that it wasn't enough to win that game. You had to win it in a certain way and really make a statement. And I thought you did that.
Yeah. You know, I think the focus that week, Ted, was, you know, pretty exact. And the perspective that our guys have shifted towards, or actually gotten back invested in, has been pretty cool to see. It's been a really funky journey, man, so far, and a really challenging one for lots of reasons. But, you know, I think, you know, last week we talked a lot about us instead of Wagner. We knew that, you know, Wagner does have the best team I think that I've seen them have in terms of how they play defense. But, you know, we just really knew as coaches that we were, I mean, superior to them and athletically and in depth and specifically on the offensive end of the field, and, you know, having our guys healthy again. But there was still that edge. There was still that kind of that funky emotion that we had to, you know, make sure that we handled well as a coaching staff and as a team. So we didn't talk about them much. We just talked about how well we can play if we focus on these things. And, you know, I think for the most part, Ted, what we're most pleased with is, yeah, you know, how we played defensively, you know, who Kevin was in the goal, how focused. I mean, you heard Michael Christensen in every huddle, and it just didn't matter who the opponent was, which, you know, I think it's unfortunate we have to go through such a lull for our guys to have the perspective of a true underdog, which, you know, I don't know, Ted, if we've ever really played that well against Wagner. Right. And that's unfortunate. It's no insult to Wagner. And I don't mean it to be, but their name always comes with this negative connotation. Like you're just supposed to kill them. And just not the way Division I athletics is. So, you know, I wonder if we have that same perspective and same focus, if, you know, we beat St. Joe's and we beat Bryant and Cuse, Cornell, yada, yada. So I'm not sure, but no matter how you get to these points, this is where we are. And we're at a place where we're, I think, as healthy as we've been, knock on wood. But mentally and emotionally, our guys are in a really, really good place. And we can feel it. We see it in their practices. You know, we are playing great lacrosse in practice, and our guys are very energetic, and they've just put it into the work. We've reinvested in that work, and the product that came out was a statement. But Ted, honestly, it wasn't about playing against Wagner. It wasn't about who they had, and it was just all about let's get Hobart back on track here, because we know that we can.
Three goals allowed was the fewest since 2009. You talked about Kevin Holtby, and You know, goalies can make spectacular saves, but it really just comes down to making saves. I mean, he's been around that 45-50% save percentage in most games, and that makes it kind of a toss-up. When he stopped 75%, I mean, there weren't really a whole lot of highlight reel saves in that game, just good basic stops, and when your goalie makes a stop, it lifts everybody up.
Yeah, and also, you know, Ted, Kevin was very active in this game, you know, a true leader, which is what he is. I mean, you saw him, you know, dive into backup shots again, which he always does, and more energetic in our ride. I think he had a bunch of ground balls and caused a couple turnovers. So he wasn't just in the pipes trying to make saves. He was a lacrosse player. And, you know, that's what we've been pushing him to be. And I think, you know, a couple of weeks ago, you know, we wake him up a little bit and we still believe that all the goalies on our team are great goalies. We still believe that. We love Lucas. We love Liam and they're doing a great job. But Kevin has just had his best game. I texted him that night as I was watching film. And I said, again, you know, that's the unfortunate plug that I keep getting, and you know, I know it's Wagner, I didn't provide any compliments with that preconceived notion. This was your best game, Kevin, no matter who, because of how active you were, how engaged you were, how much we heard your voice, and even since then, again, the whole week of practice leading up, he did more, he worked harder, he saw more shots. And he's doing the same this week. So the proof's just in the pudding, man. Kevin and a bunch of these other guys are working more at their craft to make sure it's better on game day. But we're proud of him, man. He's was never in, like I told you, Ted, was never in a slump or anything. Just, you know, needed just a little bit more fire, a little bit more energy and a little bit more sparks here and there, which he gave us on this past Saturday.
You had this defensive performance, kept their top scorer, Aiden Clark, without a goal on a day that you were down some long sticks. No Dan Ryan. Sanott got hurt midway in the game. Some of the younger guys, Firth and Doobie and Trujillo, really stepped up and really came to play.
Yeah, and they're very good players. I think, you know, that's one of the places where, I mean, obviously we don't want anyone else to get hurt. That's one of the places where we do have really great depth. You know, I think if you watched Coach Terry juggling all our long poles in practice, it's tough to get him a lot of reps, and it's tough to balance the field well, and we do a great job with it. But we feel very comfortable with the depth at that position, and even more so, you know, Max Horton got our player of the game. You know, he stepped in, and I think he might have had 5 or 6 ground balls on his own, and did a lot of great things off ball, executed the game plan really well, and was very aggressive and physical, so we loved the next man up mentality, which I think we've done a much better job preparing our guys for since about 4 weeks ago now. So in a time when we needed to do it well, early in this conference schedule, we didn't. And then later in this conference schedule, we needed it again, and we handled it much better. So proud of those guys for stepping in. They're going to have to do the same this week.
Yeah, I apologize. That's the danger of listing people as you leave somebody out. Max Horton was terrific. And I thought this is equally important to me is I thought the long poles handled the ball well. Long poles can make defensive plays, and then you see them running around there crazy, and they spit the ball up. Your guys didn't do that. I thought they did a real good job of pole-to-pole passes and pole-to-midi passes across midfield and handled the ball well under pressure.
Yeah, great. Thank you. And we work a lot at it, Ted, and do believe that these guys have quality stick work. It's part of the reason why we, you know, we're putting two poles on the wings of faceoffs often. We feel like they do a great job on the ground and make good decisions with the ball, and also have really good speed. You know, some of our fastest positions are, you know, Frankenbrugia, Josh Doobie's very, very fast player, and Marcus Trujillo, the same. Nolan Firth runs really well. And so we feel like we have some speed and some ball handling ability. And it's always the decision-making, Ted, the ability to pick the ball up, to catch the ball, to throw the ball accurately does not equal a great stick. The decision-making is it. And I think those guys are very simple in where they put the ball, very simple. I mean, the first play of the game, Frank and Bruja couldn't execute any better. It's a ground ball with a matchup one on the wing. He centers the ground ball. He runs through it. He keeps his stick to space. He beats people with his speed, and he makes a single pass to Derek Madonna to give us a possession. Those are the things that win us games. And so we're pleased with their stick work. We're pleased with their speed. And again, we're going to continue to play a bunch of people there going forward, because we think we got a bunch of guys that could do a pretty good job. Like Matt Turner, guys stepping up and playing good minutes for us now. So, we're going to keep playing a bunch of guys there to keep our legs fresh.
Offensively, we've talked over the years about your high speed offense, but that it's not about high speed. It's about good execution, good shot taking within that high speed. You got 55 shots against a team that doesn't give up many. They're very good at limiting shots, and 35 of those on target, 23 shots on target in the first half. When you do that, you're going to make any goalie, no matter how good he is, scramble around.
Yeah. And I mean, how good was that kid? I think he had 24 saves. I mean, he's the type of young man you watch on film and you go, we've got to put shots on goal. We've got to continue to work him back and forth and pipe to pipe. He's an excellent goaltender. I mean, we're watching film on Monday and going, and Coach Terry's breaking it down saying, look at this step, look at his top hand drive through that ball and how quickly he reads this thing. I mean, it's Derek Madonna from 10 yards. And Derek Madonna shoots it, Ted, and shoots it hard and shoots it accurately. And he gobbled up a few. So our guy, and the best part is our guys didn't get frustrated. You know, I think they prepared in that week knowing that he is a good goaltender. He's going to steal a few. And if you get frustrated and you just start shooting and not shooting the scout or, not moving him and yada, yada, then it could be a long day, but our guys did a really good job of continuing to make him work. And then, and also shooting the ball. If you see the shots that go in, Ted, if you watch them on film, they're pretty accurate shots. And so we knew we had our work cut out for us. We're very proud at how much time our guys spent in between our whistles and practice last week, just, getting their hands ready to change the plane of their shot and make this guy work a little bit. So that was one of the best statistics. As you know, we don't care a ton about them, Ted. You always do a better job letting me know how those go. But I know that if the guy makes 24 saves, and you score 12 goals, you're doing a decent job offensively.
I always say that I like shooters who have an idea before they shoot. And I thought you had a lot of those kind of goals where you could see that the shooter had his spot picked out before he ever got the shot. I'm going to go low left on this guy or upper right, and then executed that choice.
Mm-hmm. I think there's some goaltenders where you, before the week or before the game starts, you say, hey, change your plan, shoot up the pipe, shoot off hip, and, keep mixing them up, shoot smart, shoot hard, yada, yada. And then there's some game plans where you're like, okay, if this guy's staring you down the alley, it ain't going in. And if this guy's staring at you over the top, it ain't going in. I mean, you have to, for us, from a shooting standpoint, it was more, can we shoot off of ball movement? And, can you pick those spots without spending too much time with the ball in your stick? So I think that goalie scout was, that's all Coach Brundage kind of doing his job well and basically getting our guys in positions and, getting the shooters back into shooting spots. I think having Derek back and Johnny in certain spots, and then Arch and Tommy and all these guys that we know can stretch a defense pretty well. He more so just said, you were always going to be able to shoot that one, but let's get the ball over here and shoot this one instead. So I think not so much the accurate shooting, Ted, but it was the ball movement into the accurate shooting that helped us out a lot. So I think he's the best one we're going to see. We play this league, Ted. Merrimack's got a great goaltender. St. Joe's has got a great goaltender. Bryant's got a great goaltender. Hobart's got a great goaltender. I think the conference of the goaltender. There's no doubt. I mean, LIU is his goal. Their goalie's great. So it's great that we've seen the Lehighs of the world. We've seen, the Chase Irelands at Cornell. We've seen these guys going into late play so that we know. Here's the scout, right? It's more about how our offense works than it is about how we shoot. So I think we got calloused minds and calloused sticks right now from a shooting standpoint.
Adam Shea won 10 of 15 at the X. Some people will say, oh, Adam Shea's back. I suspect you'll say that he never went away.
Yeah. He's wherever he is right now, Ted. If he's not in class, he's taking faceoffs. I mean, he works his butt off. I mean, it's creepy how much he does. We actually have to dial him back. And you know me, the more work, the better. I mean, he is relentless. He loves competition. Because Jake Schaefer is a very good faceoff guy. Kent Bonta coming on here towards the end of the season and showing some good things. We're using Ryan Dixon in some different places. So a lot of it's kind of Shea and Schaefer. But we tell, because we want to rest Adam a bunch, and we think Jake's very good. So you should see his face when we put Jake on the field. He loves Jake. They're like a married couple, the way that they bicker and fight, but they work so hard together and they love each other. That battle in practice is as consistent as any. But you just see it in Shea's face. He could be dog tired, breathing, sweating. He can't catch his breath. And if you put Shea out there, he's upset, you know, because he wants to go compete again. So we got a great one there, man. We do. And I don't think he's gone anywhere. And I think if you look at where his percentage is, you know, which I hate that a great faceoff guy is always tacked on to his percentage, but look at the guys he's competed against. Look at what they're doing. Look at what Sisselberger's doing at Lehigh all season. Look at what Zach Cole does. Look at what the Bryant faceoff guys do. Look at what, what's his name for Cornell. I mean, these are good players. And, you know, I don't think there's been a competitive game or a competitive guy where Shea hasn't shown he's at that level, if not better than all those guys. So, and it's not God given, man. He's worked for it. There's no doubt. He's got some talent, but he's a worker as well. So I'm very proud of him. We are, as a staff, we're very proud of what he's done for Schaefer and gotten him going and bringing him along. So we still feel like Shea's best is yet to come.
Let me tell you a story about guys doing extra work. I wish I could tell you who it was, but I'm not sure who the players were. After the Herons game last week, there were maybe four or five of your guys out on the field taking some shots, and one of them said, I'm done. I'm going to head out. And the other guy says to him, you can't stick around for a few more. And he says, man, you don't know how many shots I've taken today. And the other kid says, one more wouldn't hurt, would it? I wish I could tell you who they – I don't know who the players were. I wish I could tell you, because they didn't have numbers or anything, just in practice jerseys. But so somebody's out there, this kid's dog tired, taking a million shots today. He's through, and his teammate says, hey, one more.
Well, you know what, Ted? It's funny. We've talked till we're blue in the face about our leadership, and we felt like it was very sound all season long, and then we fall into a 5-game rut, right? And then everybody questions everything. You know, our fans do, our parents do, our coaches do to a degree. Are we doing the right things? Are we playing the right people? Yada, yada, yada. We even kind of challenged and or questioned our leadership and said, are we doing a great job? Because clearly if you lose 5 games, you're not. You gotta reevaluate how you're communicating, what the messages you're sending are, and making sure that everybody stays motivated and also very disciplined in their emotion, meaning, you know, it's not too late to grow. It's not too late to improve. It's not too late to put focus on where your craft's at. And so, you know, when we challenged that leadership, we revisited what we talked about in this season. We talked a lot about finding edge. You know, we made our whole team watch The Man in the Arena, which with the documentary on the Patriots, and we got tons of Massachusetts guys, so it wasn't a hard sell, you know. And one of our biggest leaders, Dan Ryan, actually, he had a senior speech last week. He thanked Tom Brady in his senior speech as he's going through his thank you. So he's a huge Pack guy. And that stuff's all about, you know, no one really knows what we're doing here. No one really knows what it's like in this locker room. No one really knows what the work we're putting in. It's, you know, we have to believe in it. But it's also, if you watch those, a lot of those documentary clips, they talk about finding an edge. Who's doing more work? Where are we getting an edge on our opponent? And we revisited that a couple weeks ago and said, are we really challenging each other to have that edge going into a game? Are we doing enough to say, Our product set, our, you know, our stick work set, our, it wasn't, you can't will out wins, man. You just can't, you can't will out good play. You have to go put the time in, you know. We always reference, if a batter's in a slump and he puts his bat down, he ain't going to get out of that slump. You have to swing that thing. And so if your ball's not going where you want it to go when you shoot, fix it. If the ball's not going in your stick on the ground, fix it. You know, if you don't know where to be and when, watch that film. And so we challenge them to revisit that stuff. And I'm very proud to hear that. It's a great story. And I can say that we talked a lot, challenged our leaders a lot, but always knew that they're all made of the right stuff. So I'm hopeful that these growths and these changes continue to occur.
In Merrimack Saturday, you've got a team, I don't know, they're kind of a combination of Bryant and Wagner. I mean, they're a grinding team. Again, a team that doesn't score a lot, but a very good defensive team. Their goalie, Henry Vogt, coming off a 16-save day. Like Hobart, they have that tradition. They won two Division II titles the 2 years before they came up to D1. So, you know, this is a program that expects to be a competitor in this league sooner than later.
Yeah, and they, you know, we have a lot of respect for how they play. I think they, you know, without having postseason implications, it's hard for them to find that kind of that next level or that next emotional standpoint. And they do, they, especially at home, Ted. I think we've talked about that this week and how different they play at home. I mean, they are very prideful in their home turf. They don't lose much there at all. You know, they are exact in their emotion. You see, after they score goals, you'd think every goal they score is an overtime victory goal. I mean, they're completely dialed in. I think they do a good job with their fans there and get it nice and rowdy. So, you know, I think Merrimack plays extremely hard and they have a very specific style. I think, offensively, they're very unique in that the ball doesn't stay in anybody's stick long. They clearly have a 3 or 4 second rule with the ball. They have as many assisted goals or off ball cutting goals as any team that we've played. It's very impressive. So we watch film and go, first and foremost, we look at their sideline. We look at the effort, and they always pass those tests. They always pass. They look at how engaged they are. Look at how energetic they are for each other. Look at how much they support each other. So they're great in that aspect. We feel like two underdogs are going at it here, and it's about, you know, who's going to have more pride in their product, but we're preparing with the utmost respect for this group, as we think they're a pretty good squad.
So when you have a team that moves it that quickly, how do you play it defensively? Do you have to be more mobile defensively or almost careful about being too mobile and overreacting?
Yeah, I think you got to fall back on your reads and your reactions to Dodgers. You know, I think understanding who we have on the ball at all times, understanding what the position of the offensive player is. You know, we have lots of tell signs, Ted, of where we need to support, right? And, you know, this is a dangerous opportunity. This is where, you know, they infiltrate our paint. We call our most dangerous areas or opportunities on the field our paint, just like basketball. How do we protect it? How do we keep shooters out of there? And then if we can't, when and where do we support the ball? So those decisions will have to be great. You know, we'll have to figure out when we're beat and sliding at a time so that, you know, the inside, the through and all that stuff isn't wide open. You know, there are some teams where you can slough off a ton and designate support and make sure you got to get the ball out of that guy's stick. This ain't one of those groups. So each person on their team has very good vision. And I think they dodge with their head up as good as anyone. So we have to make the determination of what needs support and what doesn't. And that has to be a 60-minute decision.
They don't turn the ball over very much. You've been among the national leaders all year, and that hasn't been the case the last couple of years. What's made the difference in protecting the ball so well this year?
Coach Brundage first, and then our players second. I think, you know, making sure our guys, just the reverse of what I just talked about defensively, it's the same offensively, recognizing who we have out there and what everybody's capable of. You know, there are a couple guys that we know can make great plays. There are a couple guys that we know can do the right things with the ball if we give them time and space. But we also, when we share the ball, we've shown we have the ability to have pretty sharp sticks. to make pretty good decisions and to not be rushed into anything. I think the one of the good balances we're developing still is, like we talked early, Ted, the flow to the offensive end. And, you know, I think some of those turnovers in the past have come from that hard push and maybe leaving a defensive player on the field just a touch too long. I think our guys are doing a great job in our substitution phase, getting the right people on the field that should have the ball in their stick more. So I think that's helping us out a lot. And we're also continuing to reiterate how important for our offense and how we play a single passes. And instead of a skip, instead of a double, you know, the inside, the skips and all of those open up so well. And I think we see them coming to fruition more when certain people have the ball over others. So, you know, our guys have bought in more to that concept this year than ever, meaning when I draw support, this is where the ball should go, either there or there. And I'm just going to trust this system. In the games where we've played good offense, the system clicks. In the games when we haven't, like we've told you, we've tried to do a little bit too much at times. So, you know, I think the balance there, Ted, is what's impacting that statistical category.
All right, Hobart at Merrimack. It's a 3 o'clock start this Saturday. They have an early women's game, so that's why the 3 o'clock start. And for our radio listeners, that game is on 105.7 WHWS, which means we will have a pregame show about 10 minutes before. Follow all of your Hobart news on Instagram, at Hobart Lacrosse, Twitter, at Hobart Lacrosse, and, of course, HWSAthletics.com for all your Hobart and William Smith news. Coach, thanks. Best of luck, and we'll see you in the tournament in a few weeks.
All right, thanks, Ted.